Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to the XYZ Experiment Podcast. I am Luke and I'm joined today with Fee and Darsh. And guys, the end of the year is rapidly approaching and I really love reflective practice, if that hasn't already been made apparent from every episode I've been on ever. But I really do like looking back on things and just, you know, what has and what will be this year. And I know it's been a big year for all of us in different ways. And thinking about the unexpected, the expected, what has kind of happened this year for you guys that you think is unexpected, or it wasn't on your bingo card for the year of things that kind of you expected were going to happen? Anything come to mind?
What was not on your bingo card, Luke?
As I got older, what I wanted to do would become clearer. And as a result, I don't want to say my future, but as a result, the direction I go in becomes a little bit more focused and a little bit more specific, I guess, not only just in the sense of what I'm doing, but location wise.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, working as I have been for the last couple of years, I was kind of getting into that mentality. And then I went traveling at the end of last year and I felt as though the world kind of opened up again. But kind of in a way, like that novel way that going on a holiday does, where you feel as though this is awesome, but now I'm going to go back to what reality actually is. But going and living in Hobart, and Darsh and I were talking about this off camera, it could actually be the state of Hobart is unique in this way, but I just realized that the world is actually really big and your world can remain really big even if you've got a little bit more stability and the kind of understanding of what you want to do and where you want to be in it. And I just felt as though instead of kind of having a good idea of what I want to do and that making things very specific, it actually like opened up a lot of doors and opportunities don't actually like disappear.
Mm.
And in fact, in being a little bit more deliberate in what you're doing, the world actually just becomes infinite,
yeah.
Which was a really, really kind of exciting discovery that I wasn't super, you know, I wasn't aware that's something that would happen.
Were you expecting this year to be more linear than it has been?
Absolutely. And that's something that I was also looking forward to. I feel like having that linear direction was something that, I don't know, I actually am not someone that is necessarily super, in terms of preferred learning style, I do prefer a bit more of a streamlined linear kind of direction as opposed to kind of having ultimate freedom. But I felt as though in paradoxically in having that very linear kind of trajectory that supported a lot of the thoughts I had about what I want to be doing, that in turn just opened up an entire world.
Yeah.
And that was also, yeah, not just in terms of life direction, but geographically as well. I just realized the world is actually a massive place. You can pick up and go anywhere and it'd be a completely different experience that's completely open if as long as you embrace it, which is really cool. I remember the first week of being in Hobart, just kind of saying to myself over and over again, I'm so excited to be in this new world and I'm so excited to like fill it up. And I feel like in this year I've really made a concerted effort to fill it up and I've realized it's like living in another world, which is really, really amazing. And so that's something that I wasn't expecting. And not only that, but just this idea and this belief that even if at the end of my journey, my studies there, I come back here or I go elsewhere, I can really just do it.
Yeah. Oh, so you have a bit more confidence in yourself.
Confidence in myself and just confidence about, yeah, how the world works, I guess.
I love that.
I reckon you become more of a citizen of the world. You realize you can go anywhere. You can do anything. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that connectedness. Obviously, we know that in a literal sense through things like technology, but in terms of like an actual sustainable, really just sustainable and like rewarding sense, valuable sense that actually you can actually be connected to the world in a way more meaningful way than just through like technology.
I wonder how long it would have taken you to have that realization if you hadn't shifted states.
I think a very long time.
Yeah.
If ever, really.
You had to have that physical shift to have that mental shift as well.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I think one of the perks of just going on holidays and traveling to begin with is it breaks you out of that kind of mentality. But to have that prolonged because I'm living out of the state, it's been so rewarding and just really unexpected. Waking up every day and feeling like that was not something I was expecting.
I think what you're saying about that physicality is really important, because it really does bring it back to you about how lucky you are and the opportunities that you have, particularly when you visit other countries, you know, and you just think, wow, like, we're so lucky.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
How about you, Dash?
Yeah, I've been trying to think. There were so many, again, I'm like, when did the year start? What was I thinking when the year started? And I feel like this has been a year, which I didn't anticipate, of almost really critically reviewing and thinking, what does the world need, or what does my society need, and what's my place in that? And kind of questioning everything. And I've been doing a lot of leadership courses, which have really forced me, I think, to think a little bit differently. It's one lead, I shouldn't say lots of leadership. It's one main leadership course, but I've been mentored by lots of different people through that and have had access to some incredible leaders. And I think it's really made me go, you've got to break out of your normal ways of thinking and really start. More than any other year, I think I've thought about what do I want the next couple of years to look like. And I think I feel like this year is where I've transitioned from being an expert in things to being more of a leader in things and being more of a strategist and thinking more about things that are coming. And it's something in the academic world I've been drilling into my team around, really knowing what is coming, not just at a national level but at a global level. What is coming that is going to impact how we work and what we work on and what's going to matter to the organisations we work with, but the organisations that represent the populations that we work with. And I just, you know, for me, it always comes back to ageing. I just think we are in this era of the planet's life where we are living for such a long time. And if you are in the privilege of living in a developed country where you have access to good healthcare and nutrition and housing and all of those things which may enable some of that. And it is pretty remarkable. I don't think we can anticipate what's coming. So my brain is full of thinking that through, which I didn't anticipate really at the start of the year, how much I'd be caught up in that.
It's almost like you've stopped looking down the road and you've looked at the entire map.
Yeah, I remember, did you ever watch that movie which was like a parody on climate change? Like Don't Look Up or something it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've looked up. I'm not just looking down the road, but I've actually looked up and gone, oh, right. And some of it is good and some of it is not good.
Yeah.
And what am I doing about that?
Have some of those kind of reflections that you've been passing on down to your team as well about changes and what the future might look like, did anything there stand out to you as something that you were kind of shocked by? Or does it seem like there's going to be big changes, or is it more just kind of adjusting to make sure what you're doing is very specific in like answering or working towards resolving those things?
Well, you know, there's things that I thought were going to happen, but just like from a landscape perspective of thinking, well, is the university sector going to survive globally?
Yeah.
Is, you know, do we value knowledge? Do we value critical thinking? Do governments want to keep investing in research and teaching in the same way they have? Or have, as a society, have people kind of moved on from these institutions? And we saw that during COVID, that institutions were both the hero and the demon of COVID. A hero in terms of creating vaccines, but the demon of imposing, public health measures on populations. And so it's just this interesting perspective of kind of going, okay, we are going into 2025. How are institutions going to be viewed going forward? But then from that macro vision, kind of going, well, is my job going to be safe? To the micro, is my team's jobs going to be safe? Is my research going to continue? And they're all questions that, you know, I know people grapple with all the time, but it's just, you know, I think about, so there's the university sector. I think about aging. I think about climate change. I think about all of these different things. You know, we've already, today, we woke up to the smell of bushfires.
Yeah.
And we're in November and we're having bushfires. And I'm just like, wow. Like, it's going to be interesting times.
So I thought this year was going to be my year to really power through my career. I really did. Uh-huh. And I had a lot of plans about what I was going to do this year and how hard I was going to work and what I was going to do. And then I lost my job in March,
yeah,
which blew my mind. Like, I've never been a person that's ever failed. It's hard to explain. And I've never been...
But was losing your job a failure on you?
Well, yeah, in a way. Well, I'm carrying it like that. And so the career uncertainty for me is something I've never experienced in my entire life. Now, saying that, I am still inundated with job offers. Like, I can't explain to you how often in my inbox someone is emailing me to say, are you still available? Can you come work? And it's turned out to be good. But what I envisioned my career to be like this year is nothing like I expected.
Mm.
But I just want to add to that, it was tough. It was really tough for me mentally. But it's actually turned out better.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it was almost the thing that needed to happen to really, to change almost my worldview on where I'm at in the world, in the way that I work. And it's freed me up, because I feel in a medical career you can be quite trapped to that really 9-to-5 grind. But now, because I'm locuming and I'm doing different things with dentistry now, I'm actually really enjoying it again, like enjoying dentistry like I haven't enjoyed. Don't get me wrong, I do enjoy dentistry, but to another level again. And I'm going back and doing things which I had sort of stopped doing. And so that definitely wasn't on my bingo card. And because of that, I've been doing some really tricky dentistry, which I used to do for years and years and years. And then at the end going, oh, wow, I did that. And feeling so rewarded by that, that it's like hopping back on a bike, really. But just, I didn't expect to have those rewards from it, you know. It was tough. It was really tough. And I think anybody in their 50s, because a lot of my friends it happens to, if you lose your job through retrenchment and things like that, it's pretty devastating, because you do, I think it's a Gen X thing, and baby boomers, you are defined a lot by your job. And so when that changes, that can be really, really, really hard for the ego. But then good can come out of it. Yeah, and that definitely wasn't on my bingo card this year. That definitely wasn't. I sort of had this idea of where I was going to go, and then that was blown out of the water. But maybe that was a really good thing. It was the shift that I needed, the real shift that I needed.
Because do you think if that hadn't happened, you wouldn't have shifted jobs?
Yeah, I think I would have stayed very stale is the word for it. Because it not only changed me in my career-wise, but also my health and the internal looking in myself about, wow, I haven't been looking after myself very well. So, and that's what I needed. It's what I needed, yeah. So, yeah, so that wasn't on my bingo card. So, yeah, it's been quite a different year for me.
If we were to go around, because you know how sometimes they say, what's your word of the year at the start of the year?
Yeah.
What is your word of the year at the end of the year looking back?
I started my year thinking, and it's not just a word, I was thinking hard work and head down, bum up. That's what I was definitely thinking. And I've got to the end of the year and I'm thinking, oh, this is exciting. Like, I really have thought about, I almost love the uncertainty of what next year is going to bring me, and the power to choose. I might work there, I might work there, I might work there, and have that ability to choose that. So I feel quite excited about it.
Interesting.
I think at the beginning of the year, I would have used the word change, obviously, not only change in the sense of relocating in school and my professional trajectory, but also socially and within my family as well, a lot of big changes there. And I think that I would describe now my year as, honestly, the word that keeps coming to my mind is like content. I feel as though I've never really finished a year feeling happy with the amount of things or what I've actually done. But in terms of this idea of contentedness now, it's not about what I've achieved, but actually the mentality of just experiencing all of like the different throes of life. Because life isn't this, you know, there's that idea of the happiness trap where people kind of think that the normal resting state of life should be to be happy, but really a normal human experience is all of those different emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I've ever been content with that. I've always just been like content with all the things I've done in spite of those feelings, but actually just experiencing everything, I'm content with the way that that's occurred and how I've dealt with that, I guess. What about you, Dash?
I think I started this year thinking I was going, that my words were going to be things like rest and joy.
We're laughing because we know it hasn't. Maybe a bit of joy, though.
There was a bit of joy, and there has been definitely some rest, but I feel like really the words that sum up my year, and I feel like you have to have years like this. Like this is that you need these years to grow, but I feel like the words are chaos and conflict.
And I think that has a lot to do with because you've been mentoring and you're doing your leadership thing as well. So you're rethinking everything.
I'm rethinking everything, but also just rhythms of work and ways of working and people I'm working with and all of that kind of stuff. Like, but also it's not just work. Like, I just feel like life has been chaotic.
Mm. Would you say that, like, because, you know, when we're talking about conflict and chaos, what? Often you're referencing other people in that sense, not you specifically, but generally when we're using those terms, would you say that as a part of that, your actual like dynamics and your relationships with others has changed, which has led to that chaos and conflict?
100%. And I think it happens every couple of years that, and to all of our listeners, Scott and I are totally fine. Like this is excluding marital kind of relationships, but I think you outgrow people, you outgrow situations. Mm. And that comes because you've got chaos and conflict within yourself as you're refining your values and your ways of being and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I hit 40. This is my year of 41. I feel like what I want and what I want to be doing is very different to what I was doing in my 30s. And so, yeah, it has to come with chaos and conflict to kind of, I guess, make that kind of diamond change. Like you have to go through heat for that. And being mentored by people who literally just said, stop asking for permission. Yeah. Like you have to just go out and do it, make it happen. And I was like, yeah, I do actually. I know what needs to happen. So next year, let's hope it's not conflict and chaos.
So what's your word?
Yeah, what's next year's word?
Well, maybe next year's word will be more in line with your word, Luke, for this year, which was more around like starting the year with one of change.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And Pete? That's okay.
And that's okay. What's your word for next year, Luke?
I would say, and I've been using this word a lot recently just in my life, but I think deliberate. I just want to be a little bit because, you know, but this idea of autonomy being a really important part in feeling content and feeling as though you're getting things done. And so when I say deliberate, I'm not saying that I need to overload myself or stack my calendar, but I just want to make sure with the things that are important to me, I'm a little bit more deliberate in and focused in the way that I go about doing those things.
Hi, everyone. It's Fiona from the XYZ Experiment. We're here to let you know that this is our final episode for 2024. What an incredible journey it's been bringing you new stories, interviews and discussions each week about our generations. We want to thank you, our amazing listeners, for all your support and encouragement throughout the year. It's been an absolute privilege to share this experience with you. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. We'll be back in early 2025 with even more exciting content, fresh stories, fascinating interviews and lively discussions. From Dash, Luke, myself and the entire XYZ Experiment team, we wish you a fantastic holiday season. Thank you for being part of our journey and we can't wait to reconnect with you next year.